let me explain the reason our mayor is not available with us this evening. He is having, he is at present at a school board meeting at which his daughter Grace is being recognized by the school district for being a 2010 state scholar. So on behalf of myself and the city council, we would wish to congratulate his daughter Grace on her achievement and wish her, of course, success and wish her all well-giving that she possibly finds. So, be that as it may, I think we should begin with the involvement with our agenda this evening. And firstly, what we have to do is consider the consent agenda. Is there a motion for us to do so?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Hill and seconded by Alderman Marks. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Oh, all right. Oh, may the secretary please indicate that all the council members are present this evening. Very good. All right, so let us now go on to the third item, which is the presentation on Fall in Love with Downtown Geneva, the tourism program. And Paul is going to speak to that issue.
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight I'm talking about our Fall in Love with Downtown Geneva promotion. This is our second year, and this is one that we work with the Economic Development Department works with the businesses in the downtown on this program. Basically, we run this program for a couple of reasons. One is to attract customers to the stores during what's typically a slow month, and the other is by collecting the little email slips. It provides us a low-cost way of getting news out to the community through the emails on programs and events that we're handling in the community. Each of the sponsoring businesses listed on the poster here has donated either a $50 gift certificate or a dinner for two. And we were overwhelmed this year by our response. Last year we had 34 businesses that had sponsored this event. This year we have 59 businesses that have either given us a meal for two or a $50 gift certificate. Obviously in these times, I think that's an accomplishment, and I think this cooperation is something that makes Geneva stand out as an outstanding community, too. This year, we have two ways to win, not just through the slips alone. Tonight, we're going to pick our first week's winners, and we probably have over 1,000 of these slips that are collected through all the, there's like around 60 businesses that have participated, and they fill out the little slips and put them in these. So look for these on the counters of participating businesses or the posters outside the doors of the participating businesses. It only takes like about 10 seconds to fill that out. And then Friday of this week, we're also working with the River 95.9 on a grand prize drawing, and that is that's a one-night stay at the Harrington with a $50 spa certificate. It includes earrings from State Street Jewelers, flowers from Town and Country Gardens, chocolates from Graham's, and dinner at Fiora's. And so it's not a bad Valentine's recipe out there for people that need some ideas. So, this year with 95.9 the River, this is one that Ellen DeVita, our Economic Development Director, she's on that the first Thursday of every month at 8 o'clock, around between 8 and 8:30, and she's able to promote all the different events and programs that we have going on in the community. So, with that, they have several ways. Either you can go into our website, which is GenevaDowntown.org, and there's a tab there that for Fall in Love, and it gets you to the river, and then you go to the River Listeners Club, and they have different ways through trivia or from this password. Like, for example, the password on each of these boxes, they have a different one, and the one on this one is cuddle. You know, so basically enter that in and you get some points. And so, anyway, what else? In addition to the grand prize, the river is running 160-second ads on Geneva about Fall in Love, and then they're promoting hourly this contest that we have. So, now with the help of the council and our mayor, I'd like to select this week's winners. And with that, they'll be listed on our GenevaDowntown.org site, or we're working with Sudden Values, and they'll be posted in e-blast about this week's winners.
Thank you, Paul. There are going to be 13 happy winners to this event. There will be 8 retailers that are offering gift certificates of $50, and then the 5 restaurants are offering dinners for 2. So the first drawer will be Alderman Marks. And the first drawing is from Anastasia Treasures for the Home, a $50 gift certificate. And Anastasia's is located at 447 South 3rd Street.
They can announce our winner.
Sure.
All right, Alderman Melander, say our names.
Amy Masser from Geneva.
What town does it say? There's a town participating.
It says City Geneva.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Participating, yeah, they didn't write the participating.
So that's our winner for Anastasia Treasures for the Home. The second winner will be Dinner for Two at Citizen Kane. Alderman Flanagan.
I'm going to dig deep. Oh my God, it's endless.
Yes, it is.
Fingers are coming out of the bottom of the bag.
I told her she could tell mine by the way I balled it on.
Vincent Bellastern. And it is from Geneva, and he registered at Air Days.
Air Days, okay, great.
Very good. Thank you. This next drawer is Alderman Vogelsberg, and she will be drawing a $50 gift certificate from Cocoon.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that is?
That is, yeah, that works.
Yourself? Not supposed to stuff the ballots.
Okay. Not a first name, but Lundborg from Batavia, and they registered at Stockholms.
Very good. Our next draw will be Alderman Marks, and he will be drawing a $50 gift certificate from Fox Jewelers.
The winner is Kelly Krause from Geneva and registered at Fox River
Pilates.
Pilates.
The next drawer will be Alderman Chuck Brown, and he will be drawing for the Galena Cellars Winery a $50 gift certificate.
I didn't register.
And the winner is Mark House, St. Charles, and he registered at Geneva Jakes.
Very good. And the next drawer will be Stephanie, and she will be drawing a dinner for two at the Little Owl.
And the winner is Natalie Gridley from St. Charles, and she registered at Milrayson.
And the next drawer will be Alderman Singer. He will be drawing a dinner for two at Matusi Japanese Restaurant. John Wheeler, a Sugar Grove resident. He registered at the Urban Grill. Thank you. The next will be a $50 gift certificate. Miss Mary McKittridge, and she will be drawing a $50 gift certificate from Myrna Lee Shops and Fashion Walk.
Where is Mary McKittridge?
Kidding.
Where is Elise Will from Geneva, registered at Tia Maria's?
Very good. Thank you. And our next drawer will be Alderman Sam Hill. He'll be drawing a dinner for two from Oscar Swan. Cut me in.
Stay. Oscar Swan.
Overnight? Oh, is it? I wasn't aware of that.
It is, really? Because these people are neighbors of mine. Linda Williams of Geneva, and she registered at Citizen Kane.
Very good. Thank you. Our next drawer will be Alderman Piper, and he will be drawing a $50 gift certificate from Serenity Jewelry and Gifts. Thank you. Our next drawer will be Alderman Pollock. You'll be drawing a $50 gift certificate from the Viking Office Supply.
First. The person I drew was Linda Zielinski from Lake Geneva, and she registered at the Urban Grill.
Wow.
All right.
And neat. Great. And the last drawer. Alderman Gentino drawing a dinner for two at Villa Verone.
The winner is Bob Mott from Geneva, registered at Flagstone.
Very good. Thank you.
People at the restaurants had to eat.
Yeah, I believe that.
I knew that.
Yeah. Tall,
good.
13.
Got one more.
We should have one more.
One more.
Two, four.
Yep. Oh, this is for Mayor Burns. Oh, what is this for?
Cemetery.
Oh, the cemetery. Oh, yes. I missed that one. I'm sorry. Teresa Steele, a resident of St. Charles, and she registered at the Urban Grill. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Anything you'd like to add?
Just that the winners will be posted on our GenevaDowntown.org site and Sun Valley's, and then we'll have weekly winners and be announced at the City Council in the next weeks, each of the following weeks.
And how many more drawings will we have?
There will be four more. The contest goes to the end of February.
Okay.
And our last drawing will be in the beginning of March as we pick up all the ones at the end of February. So the next 2 weeks we'll announce drawings.
All right. Now, the certificates that you have in that bag, will they remain there to be drawn next week?
Yes, they keep rolling over, and so we'll probably need a much bigger bag.
So you can vote as early and as often as you
want. Vote early and often, that's right.
Right.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. All right, let's carry on to the B item, which is to consider the draft resolution for 2010/11, which deals with the street improvement project under Illinois Department of Transportation.
So moved.
Second.
All right. The motion was made by
Flanagan.
Alderman Flanagan, and seconded by Alderman Pollock.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Panel, are you going to speak to this issue?
Good evening. The resolution on the agenda for your consideration tonight is a standard IDOT resolution that the city is required to pass in order to spend our motor fuel tax monies. And in this resolution, we indicate that we have $560,000 that we anticipate receiving through motor fuel tax funds in the next fiscal year. So the resolution is just telling IDOT that these are the roads we're choosing to spend that money on during the next fiscal year. It's merely a requirement so that we can move forward. The entire project, however, is $1 million. It's a little over $1 million, so the rest of the funds are being made up with sales tax monies through the general fund. Are there any questions?
Any questions? The listing of the streets could be found where, Ms. Pam?
It was attached. There's an attachment to the resolution, and then there's also a map, and the ones proposed for the next fiscal year are in the red.
Alderman Brown, please.
You first.
No, I wanted to ask, when we went through this process last year, the fundings were such that we had to shall we, disengage some of the streets because we didn't have enough funding for what we had anticipated. Is there a possibility that that might occur at this point in time?
Well,
pretty well assured that the streets that we have listed here will be repaired as such.
For this next fiscal year, in fact, we've already turned the plans into IDOT for their review. We turned them in today.
Okay.
So those roads that are listed in this resolution and shown in red on the map are already drawn up, designed, ready to go. So we don't anticipate pulling any of them as long as when the council considers the budget for the next fiscal year, they stay with the approximately $1 million that we're proposing. If, however, the council decided that, no, we can only go with $500,000, obviously then we'd have to cut the project and resubmit. But at this point, we're going to submit a budget asking for $1 million to be spent on road construction.
Okay. Thank you, Pam. Alderman Brown?
Thank you.
Winter is not yet over, and there could be some major underground projects that jump on us. It is possible to change this list, I presume, during the year, if something comes up major.
The list for the roads for this repair, the schedule is to bid them out in April.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to send them into IDOT now for review. We could remove roads, but adding roads at this point is somewhat difficult.
Even though half of the money is coming from us?
Well, it's more a matter of time. We actually had to pick these roads last year in order to be able to do the field work, the design, the drawing, and then the review from IDOT. It's quite a lengthy process. Unfortunately, I know exactly what you're saying in that you drive out there today, and the roads today look a lot worse than they looked when we first picked these out last year from the whole list of all the roads to look at. The winter is terrible on the roads, and unfortunately, because of the time required to get this through the IDOT process, and just the design process, we have to pick them during the previous fiscal year. So that's why we tried to kind of set out a plan for the next several fiscal years. However, I do note on here that at this point it's merely a guideline because you're exactly right. Each winter we'll have to go out there and reconsider these roads.
The ones in the subsequent years could change.
Yes, definitely. They could be moved. If they're in very bad condition after the winters, we'll move them up. If they seem to be lasting longer than another one, we'll push them off. So definitely the roads in the next several fiscal years, anything other than red, really could change because of the condition of the roads. And like you said, if something happens to the road that we didn't anticipate, some type of utility project.
It seems that, is it not a possibility that we could split the list in half and just have them approve the half they are paying for and have our own private list that we're paying for? Is that not allowed under state law?
To have two projects that we bid out?
Or would that just not make sense in terms of the bidding process?
I think we'll probably get a better price by having more in one bid. We've tried to work it with IDOT so that we put the... They're a little more strict on their review than what we would be, and so we try to put the items that we know that they're going to review under the monies that are coming from them. And if they have questions like they won't fund water main work or certain types of work, then we would throw that in our own. We don't have water main work on here, but that's an example of something they would not fund, so we would throw it under our monies.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Alderman Pollock.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Singer. Pam, you show $560,000 in MFT funds and $490,000 in the general fund. Would anything preclude us from just accepting and going forward with the $560,000 and not tapping into the general fund?
Well, that's entirely up to the council. During budget considerations, we submit a proposed budget,
right,
and then I would anticipate that the council would discuss what they want to spend on road construction and then come to a consensus. We will work with whatever the council decides as a budget figure for road construction.
Okay, but it's not as if it's a matching situation with the state?
No, unfortunately not. But you can propose that to your legislator.
We'll try. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, Alderman Pollock?
No, thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Alderman Flanagan.
I just have a comment. I know that one of the streets that was listed on our list this year was also listed last year. So if you were going to bump any type of streets off, would you keep the ones that you had anticipated doing last year?
That's what we've tried to do is, and again, I wasn't here last year, but from discussions during the design process, that was brought up, that we're trying to get done the roads that got bumped in previous years. Good. Obviously, if the road lasted in better condition than what was expected, we would try to push it off a little more, but I believe it was Lincoln is one example of a road that was pushed off, and it's in terrible condition. So.
And so was Stratford Drive. And
yes, so we put Stratford back on.
So, okay, thank you very much.
All right. You know, I think it's extremely wise that we follow the direction that is we're being asked to vote on because of the sense that I recall last year when we went through this system and we got our bids out early in the winter for all areas, we were able to get a very, very good price. And I think that's sort of what we're aiming for in this instance as well, are we not?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Are there any other questions? None. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Very good. Have it recorded that it was a unanimous vote. Thank you. And we go on now to item C, which is to consider the draft resolution authorizing the execution of meter testing contract with Luthan Electric in the amount of $30,345. And
so moved.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Piper, seconded by Alderman Hill. And the issue is going to be spoken to? Yes. Our water department chairperson.
Electric department.
Electric. No, the electric department chairperson.
Water department doesn't make any sense.
Basically, this is meter testing that we've been doing annually for the last 4 years. The idea is to test the industrial meters once a year, the large meters, and we do the commercial meters basically on a 5-year schedule, and we try to get through the residential meter on a 10-year schedule. This is a suggested guidelines from the state. One of the questions I was asked today by Alderman Flanagan is if I would send the contract for review to Mr. Radovich. I have no problem with that, and I can take care of that. Are there any questions?
Alderman Flanagan?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on it. I hadn't seen this contract before, so I thought maybe if we just wanted to pass it by our attorney just to make sure that we haven't missed anything over the years or...
Mike, is this the same contract that we use every year?
Yes, it is. There's been minor changes for FOIA and for wages, and it would not be inappropriate to have Chuck review these just to make
sure
we're getting the language
right. At least those modifications, at least. If it's the same contract, we hesitate to because it costs every time we do that. Gotcha.
But if there are changes such as this, then that's fine. I don't have any problem with that.
Right. I thought maybe if it would safeguard our contract, so that was my...
That's fine.
Alderman
Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Singer. You say the state dictates the schedule for review of meter calibrations.
We do not have to follow the state rules, but they have suggested doing several different methods, and this is the method we chose.
Have you done any kind of an approximate payback to see if this makes sense? I would presume the meters are getting better over the years, and hence one could lengthen the time of review, because presumably if the meters never fail, this is wasted money.
They haven't been tested until I got here 5 years ago, so we just haven't got through everything. And a large meter, if it fails, the reduction in revenue is drastic.
I'm sure that's true, but I'm sure it's noticed immediately by Mr. Weiss's department.
By who?
By the finance department.
Correct.
Weiss's department.
If they slow down, it's something that can be missed.
Oh, okay.
Are there any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Buffington. I think we should have a vote on the issue. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Whatever recorded, the vote was unanimous. I would suspect Mr. Buffington will also speak to the next issue, which is to consider a draft resolution authorizing acceptance of quotes from Wasco in the amount of $8,088 for the purchase of decorative street lights. I think many of us remember Hal brought this issue up a week or so ago.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Alderman Piper and seconded by Alderman Oglesberg. Thank you. Mr. Buffington, please.
We approximately lose about 6 street lights due to car wrecks a year. And this was other than the bases that Hal brought up, but we do lose bases. And basically, we're just replenishing our stock. To date, we've lost 5 one Saturday night. So we're on right on schedule.
Some of this reimbursed by the AF companies?
If there is, if we know who did it, we charge them, and it includes labor and overhead.
Thank you.
Same people who throw the flowers.
Alderman Pollock.
Thanks. I so badly want to say Warren, but I'll say Mike. Do the poles come with the bases?
No, these particular lights come complete. We buy a head and the base.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any other questions? None? So I think a vote is essential at this point. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Thank you. The next item is to consider the 2010 lease agreement with Steve Pislick Farms for farming at Prairie Green Preserve at the rate of $303 per tillable acre.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion made by Alderman Hill and seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any discussion on the issue? Mr. Unch, would you like to clarify this point?
No.
Are you with this? If you may, please.
No.
This is not something we haven't done previously, and I think from my understanding is this $303 tillage cost is very, very reasonable.
Well, it's actually very, very much on the high end of the rents that are received following the various sources that we check just to track what the going farm lease rates are. The Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers, they survey their membership each year, and for this year, for 2010, the statewide average for very excellent ground is a lease rate of $260 per tillable acre. So we feel that we've got a very, very good lease rate, and we have a tenant farmer that's done some outstanding work for us on this site, not only in terms of using environmentally appropriate methods as he's farming, but he's also navigating a number of different improvements that the city has made out of Prairie Green Preserve. We've got a trail out there. We have a wetland area out there. We have groundwater monitoring wells, and he's got to navigate his farm equipment around all of this out there. He has a very detailed knowledge of the site. We believe we're getting tremendous value from Mr. Pistick in the services that he's providing as a part of this lease arrangement.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Are there any additional questions? Okay, let's vote on the issue. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Very good. Thank you, Mr. Unch. Item F is to consider the annual tax abatements for 209 tax levies.
So moved.
A motion made by Alderman Mark, seconded by...
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Vogelberg. Any questions on the issue? Alderman Pollock.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. Who should we address this to?
Don Weiss, our finance director.
The very last one was for, let me pull it up here. I believe it was $2,400,000. And it was, let me just read it.
That's for the
Delmar substation.
Yeah, I had a hard time following some of these because it wasn't quite clear as to what bonds they were referencing.
Well, these are all GO bonds that are in, they're already in the tax levy, and they're abated because when the bonds were issued, the various uses of the bonds were going to abate them, whether it be the water department, the electric department, or whatever. So we have to go through the formal process of abating these things, otherwise, because they're already covered by the tax levy, we're taking them off the levy now because they will be paid by an alternate source or alternate revenue sources. So some of these are covered by, as I stated, water rates, electric rates, sales tax in some cases, the Prairie Green. When we originally bought the property and we incurred the debt, we said that the fund would help abate it every year as much as it could. So that's why there's $100,000. It's coming out of the fund, the Prairie Green Fund, that's abating it. So these were all abatements that were set up when the bonds were originally issued.
Okay, so the one that I referenced, it says it's... for the purpose of defraying the cost of capital improvements to the existing system owned and operated by the city and providing for the imposition of taxes to pay the same.
Correct.
And that, when you say the existing system, that's
electric system.
Okay, and so where the levied amount was $135,000, the amount to be abated was $135,000?
Right, correct, because if you don't abate it, then the taxpayers will be paying it. This way you abate it so the taxpayers aren't charged on their tax levy, and then it's paid by the utility, actually. In this case, it would be the electric utility, which is going to pay for it.
Okay, then for 2010, will there be anything left over?
Yes, this continues for the life of these bonds.
Okay.
Until they're all paid off. It's just a formal process that you have to go through every year. It's kind of, it's the way the system is. Because they're geo-backed. They're backed by the full faith of the city.
Okay.
But they're an alternate revenue source because we set them up that way so that the utilities in most of these cases would pay for them. But you have to go through the abatement process.
Okay, and what was the term of this bond?
I don't know without having it in front of me. Most of them are 20, 25 years. I can send you that information on this. We just incurred this in 2007, so it probably goes until 27 at least.
Okay. Excuse me, Don. Ms. McKittrich could answer that question.
I can't answer that question.
Not
but
that
I,
question.
But I did. I just had some other information that
okay.
I wanted to provide, if that's all right. And we can find out what the term of that.
Well, if it's 20-some-odd years, I mean, that's fine. I was just looking for an idea.
Yes, it was 07, so yes.
Yeah, most of these bonds are 20-year bonds. That's
right.
What we usually buy, 20, 25 years. So the date on the bond is the date we acquired the bond. So figure 2027, that'll go to.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to let everybody know that as our fund stands now for Prairie Green, this is the last abatement that we'll be able to do. In the past, we've abated about $160,000. This year, we had enough money to abate $100,000, but the fund is depleted at this point. We're looking to sell wetland credits, but we do have expenses out there, the wetland monitoring, seeding, we pay property taxes on those acres that we farm. So we do have some expenses. And at this point, we'll end up with reserves of about $28,000 this year. So it looks like at this point, we will not likely be able to abate from this point forward. So I just wanted to let everybody know that.
How much was originally in that fund, Mary?
Which, the Prairie Green Fund?
Green.
$5 million.
Right now, it's about 5.3, right?
In the fund, he said, not in the debt.
Well, Mayor said the fund would be depleted, so therefore this is less.
Well, if you remember when we started the Prairie Green Fund, we sold bonds to buy the land, and we used that money to buy the 400 acres, and then there was some money left over. We used that for some of the development,
right.
But the original plan of Prairie Green was to create credits out of the wetlands. We would sell those credits, 80 acres roughly. We've done 40 acres in development. That's where a lot of the money went to that was in the fund. But it was also designed so that we'd create a wetland bank of about 80 acres, hopefully sell 80 acres worth of credits at roughly $40,000 an acre, so we'd earn about $3 million over the life. And we'd use that $3 million to pay off some of the debt, abate some of the debt, to do the development of the trails and the parks and everything, and, you know, and get rid of the debt finally. But we haven't, the wetland credits haven't taken off yet. We haven't been approved to sell them yet. So there's no revenue right now going into the fund. And we're slowly spending down this fund to where at the end of this year, as Mary stated, we'll probably have about $24,000. But if we don't sell credits, the only other source of revenue right now is Dick's farming, which generates about $80,000 a year. But that covers some of the costs. We have to pay property taxes. So we're using the fund as best we can, but until you have a revenue source, we can't do anything. We can't even do any of the proposed development that was originally designed for the fund. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. James.
I'll recognize Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Singer. Both the Prairie Green and the Public Safety are worded that it's being abated from construction interest. Do I just assume that's arbitrage, basically?
Yeah, basically, yes. So it's monies that was in the fund.
I haven't seen the words construction interest used in bonds. But
yeah, that's an old term.
Okay. So it's
but basically, it's the monies that were accumulated in the fund, whether it be interest or whatever. We're trying to use it the best we can to abate it as the original intention of the fund was. And as Mary stated, that fund is getting smaller every year because we're running out of a revenue source.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alderman Piper.
Thank you. Where are we at with wetland credits?
Dick can answer that better than I can.
We went through a very lengthy process with the Army Corps of Engineers to go through a series of steps to be certified. Just last week, I received over the phone verbal indication that they are releasing the first group of credits that we're eligible to receive under the wetland banking instrument that we've signed with the Army Corps of Engineers. So we'll be getting written authorization of that approval shortly. So that approval will give us the ability to actively market our bank as a source for purchasing wetland credits. Obviously, there's not much development activity in the area, you know, anywhere. So there's not much in the way of demand right now. We will be with this approval. Our bank will be placed on the Corps of Engineers website as one of the banks where credits are available. We think the credit values are going to run somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 an acre, and it's really just going to depend on what we can do to engage in specific deals to sell these credits and hopefully get some sales accomplished.
Buying these credits.
I'm sorry.
I don't think it sounds stupid, but what do people buy?
Typically, they are either private developers. They can also be other governmental entities that are involved in major construction projects where they're filling wetlands on their development sites.
Even IDOT?
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly.
For a wetland.
So you put a superhighway through a wetland, you've got to buy credits.
That's correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a matter of with the degradation of the wetland at that development site, we have created a high-quality wetland at Prairie Green Preserve, and the Corps of Engineers buys into that principle of basically putting these dollars where a high-quality wetland can be maintained.
Mr. Runch, the value of the wetlands, the acreage, is that determined by the buyer, the seller? Is it...
Well, it's really the market.
Market.
It's what the market will bear.
Market-driven.
Yeah, and so much depends on the nature of the wetland, the size, the quality of it. But based on everything that we've seen so far, we haven't set a final value yet, but we believe that we will be competitive in the marketplace with a value somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 per credit acre.
Very good. Are there any other questions? Can we now determine a vote, please? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Dick. We are now on the item G, and that is to consider the draft ordinance amending Title I, Chapter 8, Municipal Finances, to modify the purchasing procedures and increase competitive bid limit.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Mark, seconded by Alderman Hill. Alderman Piper. I believe both Alderman Marks and Piper were involved in having this revision of this point, if you recall. And Ms. McKittrick, would you like to speak to that, please?
I don't really have anything to add in addition to what's in my memo, but I'll be happy to answer questions.
Mayor, I just have one question. I think it's well written, and I like the procedure. And again, I was wondering, is there a possibility of the council being maybe on a quarterly basis made aware of what bids were done with some type of a report? If it would be in our monthly, on our, you know, our regular packet of reports, is that where that's going to be?
Yes, actually, okay. In fact, in speaking to department heads, what I'm asking them to do, assuming this is approved, is that anything that isn't put out for bid, obviously between, I believe it's 2,500 and 20,000, needs quotes, at least three quotes. So what I'm asking the department heads to do is to include those transactions in their monthly department reports. You'll see it again as it comes through on accounts payable, but as it's happening, I've asked them to include that in their monthly report.
That's what I would have, just so we have an idea of where that's going. Yep. That would be fine.
Are there any other questions?
Because I'm a big fan of using sometimes at least trying to find new vendors to keep the prices low, and that's one way of us at least looking at it without dragging it out in front of the council every time.
I did, just for everybody's information. I thought you might be interested to know. I look back over this fiscal year just out of curiosity, and between May 1st and today, staff did come to council 25 times for purchases under $10,000. So, and that was about a two-week delay on those purchases by the time that data was gathered and put together in a recommendation going through Committee of the Whole and then City Council. So it did push things, slow things down a little bit by a couple of weeks in most cases.
Alderman Wolfenberg.
Thank you, Mayor. That's what I was going to say. I was going to thank Alderman Marks and Piper for bringing this, because I think it will really increase, if you know, it's such an inefficient process to have to bring everything to COW and Council. So thank you for
this was mostly done by Mary, I will say.
Well, I know. I know.
You
yes,
may have heard.
Mary
say
Mary's name.
No. Give credit where credit is due. Mary did all the research here. Put this together.
they just kept asking
for it, but she really did all the research.
But
certainly
it's really great.
It'll
help us all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
I just have a real quick question. Maybe Mary can help me. Do we have an approved vendor list that we go by?
We do, Dorothy, in some of the departments. We don't have, because we don't have a centralized purchasing department, or we don't have a purchasing position in finance. It's really decentralized. I know Public Works, you know, to some extent, will keep lists for different projects, and the various departments and divisions do, but we don't have it in a centralized location just because of our structure and our organization, really.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
It would be, yeah.
Alderman Piper.
Thank you. I think it's great you brought it forward, Mary. I know that we did had a few discussions about it, but I just like the fact that we've got the right staff in the right positions, and I think sometimes for lack of a better word, we almost micromanage these situations with the best of intentions, but we get into areas where we start to make delays, and at those amounts, with the right people in the right spots, it should be kind of a no-brainer and they should move forward, but then we at least have a threshold where it has to come to this room. So I appreciate it. I think it worked out good.
Anyone else have any questions? I seem to neglect to ask if the audience would like to ask a question as such on these, any of the issues brought before us? None. So, well, let's vote on the issue. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Very good. I know we don't have a new business item placed on the agenda, but I do have an issue dealing with new business this evening. Both Alderman Flanagan and myself, and I suspect others, have been inundated by requests from users of our parking facility, our parking areas, and inasmuch as that is always an issue that seems to be dealing with the mechanism of the equipment malfunctioning. And I had the opportunity to sit down with Mary early this afternoon, and we discussed a number of issues, and this was one of the issues I broached. And I asked Ms. McKittrich if she would be kind enough at this point in time to sort of explain that conversation and give us some sense as a direction that we would like to move towards. So, Ms. McKittrich, please.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Yes, we. And interestingly, I had a meeting with other staff this morning, in fact, about this very subject, about the parking machines at the deck. And it seems that, well, first of all, there's software-related issues, and there are weather-related issues, and then there are people-related issues. And those happen periodically. We will, from time to time, receive complaints. My estimation, I would say, probably not more than a dozen people, and we have about 100 spaces, 362. Thank you, Dan. So we've got, you know, well over 350 people parking there every day during the week. And when we have a problem, you know, we may hear from 6 to 12 folks complaining about it. So they bring it to our attention. We try to get the machines fixed as quickly as we can. But because, you know, maybe someone's running at the last minute, doesn't have enough time to wait, breaks a card off in the machine, it's below freezing. You know, there are multiple reasons that we have issues. So I met with Chief Mexen this morning, Dan Dingus, and Commander Passarelli to talk about the issue. And we reached a consensus that, in fact, we would like to replace those machines and go back to the mechanical machines, which we find to be much more reliable. So right now we're continuing to to research the issue further to see if there's any potential.
No problem with the gentleman in the back. I'm just curious. Have to have him removed.
He just looks so funny. We're looking to see if there's any potential for reimbursement on the machines that we have now. In addition to the machines, there's a maintenance cost of about $4,000 a year, too, on those. So that's quite expensive. So we're looking into it further to see if we can recoup any of the investment that we've made on those machines. If that's not a possibility, we may look to other communities that have decks that are looking for additional machines of this type. We may look to declare these a surplus and put them out on iBid and eBay. But either way, we will obviously be reporting back. But at this point, we think that it's probably best to go with the mechanical machines in place of the computerized machines. So that's where we're at.
Thank you, Mary. Are there any other questions? Alderman Flanagan.
There isn't any way to, I mean, you mentioned that one of the problems was the software. Is there only that one company that is giving you the whole package deal and not necessarily splitting anything out so you can't search for any software company that does any update.
Dan could probably speak to the history because he was involved in it before I was, but I know that they looked at different companies with different pay machines because it's the software is unique to that company's pay machine.
So that's why. Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yes.
Are there any other questions? Anyone from the audience? Mayor Burns. Would you please come forward and let us know who you are and your address? Your name and address, please.
My name is Kevin Burns. I live in my car.
I want to adjourn.
I want to acknowledge Mayor Pro Tem Singer's standing in tonight. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I thank you for the opportunity, and it's a great pleasure to be here in your stead. And it's a marvelous opportunity for me to have my citizenry realize I'm just not another pretty face.
Indeed, that's true. That's why we have the sepia tone on the cameras. So that's awesome. But I'm here for a very special personal reason. I want all of you to join me, if you haven't done so already, in acknowledging Jean Frenari on celebrating 4 years with the City of Geneva. Her anniversary was yesterday, but tonight, of course, we celebrate her extraordinary accomplishment of 4 years, and we thank her very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mayor Burns. Are there any other questions?
Was he baking a cake? That's why he's late?
I imagine he may be.
All right.
I think a motion to adjourn is in order.
Oh, second.
Made by Alderman Hill and seconded by Alderman Marks. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Thanks, sir.
Well, thank you for your attendance.
All right.
He's straight by SNL.
Oh, nice.